Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today we'll be talking about strange creatures, a sleep paralysis entity, a UFO dream, and much more. All coming up on this episode of Paranormal Mysteries. Thank you all for joining me, and welcome. I'm your host, Nick Ryan. I hope everyone's had a great week, and before we start the show, I'd like to thank you for tuning in and supporting the podcast. And if you enjoy the show, please consider following, sharing, and reviewing the podcast. This supports us by helping new listeners to discover the show. You can also support us by becoming a patron at patreon.com/paranormalmysteries. Or by donating at buymeacoffee.com/paranormal. These links can be found in the show notes. And if you'd like to have your paranormal encounter shared on the podcast, please email me at paranormalmysteriespodcast@gmail.com. All experiences, no matter how big or small, are always welcome. Also bear in mind that there won't be any episodes next week or on Monday, May 3rd, as I am taking a few days off to celebrate my birthday with my family, during which time I'll be visiting the home of the Mothman in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, as well as the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in Weston, West Virginia. I'll be posting updates on my Instagram account throughout the week, so if you haven't already, be sure to follow me on Instagram at Paranormal Mysteries Podcast. And be sure to tune in on Wednesday, May 5th, as we'll be back to our normal show schedule, and I'll be discussing some of the places I visited while on vacation. We'll also be talking about the upcoming information that the Pentagon is allegedly going to be releasing sometime in May regarding UFOs and unidentified aerial phenomena. And I look forward to seeing you there. And with all of that in mind, let's begin today's episode. Today's first story comes to us from Kevin, and Kevin's story is called Ghost. Kevin says, "Hi Nick, greetings from Montreal. I was introduced to your podcast by a friend about a month ago, and like so many others, I've begun binging it. I'd like to share with you the craziest paranormal experience that I've had. I came to Montreal for university, but I am originally from Kunming, China, located in the foothills of the Himalayas. Chinese people have an interesting relationship with the paranormal. Officially, the communist government condemns any depiction or belief in spirits or the supernatural. However, millennia of ancestor worship and magic is not so easily undone. This has resulted in some rather comical expressions of spirituality, such as the burning of paper Ferraris for the ancestors to drive in the afterlife. By and large, the folk religions of China have devolved into random superstitions designed to guarantee better luck or fortune. For instance, not living on the fourth floor or not sticking your chopsticks straight down into your rice. I regard it all mostly as harmless fun, but an experience me and my family had when I was around 15 has taught me just how careful one needs to be when dealing with the paranormal. My mother's younger sister had always been fascinated by the supernatural. I remember as a child, her always reading various books about magic and taking us to watch scary movies when the other adults weren't around. She had a circle of friends who were likewise interested in spirituality, and they often went to temples and local shamans together to have their fortune told or to receive blessings. She loved talking to anyone about her recent spiritual adventures, even us kids, and I honestly loved listening to them. She was a fun, lively person, and a great storyteller. One day she told us about her decision to get a spirit charm. She explained that it was a piece of jewelry worn around the neck, containing the ashes or bones of a person. The charms came in two main flavors, one containing big spirits, which had the ashes of Tibetan Buddhist monks in them, and ones containing small spirits, which had ashes from unclaimed bodies, usually homeless people, orphans, or old people with no family inside of them. The big spirits were thought to protect you and provide you a set amount of good luck. However, since the ashes of a single monk were often used to make hundreds of these charms, the effect was said to be a little diluted. In contrast, the small spirits were supposed to be souls of the unfortunate who are lacking in good karma, hence why they had a bad life. By doing good deeds and living in a righteous life, you can donate a bit of your good karma to your small spirit, and as it learns to be good, it will bless you and those around you. Since it is your exclusive guardian spirit, the small spirit is thought to have the potential to endow you with vast good fortune if it becomes good. Not one to shy away from a challenge, my aunt had applied to receive a small spirit. I remember even then feeling creeped out by the idea of having a complete stranger's ashes around your neck. About a week later, we went to visit her, and she was excited to show us her new spirit charm. It was a beautiful jade pendant with a small divot carved in the middle. The divot had what appeared to be a round glass bead containing a dusty gray center. She said that she had been presented with several pendants and had chosen this one because she felt its spirit most desperately needed her. "I think it's an orphan," she said. Week by week, I began noticing how my aunt became thinner and paler. Her apartment seemed colder and darker each time we visited. She stopped talking to the kids about her spiritual experiences, but we'd overhear her talking to the other adults about suffering from insomnia and having nightmares all the time. They suggested that her involvement with the paranormal was causing her to think too much about ghosts and giving her nightmares. That night, we all slept over at my aunt's place. My parents never said why, but I think it's because they thought it would make my aunt feel better if we all stayed. My cousin had a bunk bed, despite being an only child, so my sister slept with her on top, while I took the bottom bunk. In the middle of the night, I experienced sleep paralysis and saw what looked like a dark figure next to our bed. It wasn't the first time I had experienced sleep paralysis, so I did what I normally did, which was screw my eyes shut, tell myself it wasn't real, and wait to fall asleep again. The next morning, my cousin told us about a dream she had where a man with big, scary eyes was staring at us while we slept. "No way," I exclaimed, jumping out of bed to look at them. "I saw a figure standing next to the bed, too." My sister said she didn't see anything, but admitted to having trouble sleeping because she felt creeped out. One by one, people in my family began talking about seeing ghosts or feeling sick whenever they went to visit my aunt. Even my hyper-communist, atheist grandfather said that he couldn't sleep because he kept hearing what sounded like someone pacing around the living room all night when there was nobody there. My aunt began putting up Buddhist charms and idols around her apartment, which honestly just made it feel creepier. The family begged her to stop partaking in magic as it was clearly harming her mental and physical health. Finally, we convinced her to get rid of the charm, so she went back to the temple, where she had first received it. She was told that severing the connection with a small ghost was a risky business, and that it might cause her harm in revenge, so to counter this, she bought some more charms and blessed them to protect herself and her family. The week after getting rid of the charm, she said she was feeling better. I did feel like a weight was lifted off of her and her apartment. However, just 3 days after that visit, my cousin came home with a friend of hers, let's call him Lee, and the unthinkable happened. Lee's parents were also friends of my aunt, and they worked late most days, so Lee would stay at my aunt's house until his parents could pick him up in the evening. That day, he came back from school complaining about a headache, and he wanted to lie down. My aunt let him nap on the couch while she went to watch TV. My cousin then came to alert her about an hour later, saying that Lee wouldn't wake up. He had died there, on the couch. I didn't learn about all of this until about a week later, since in Chinese culture it's seen as bad to openly discuss death. My aunt, her husband, and their daughter, my cousin, came to stay with us since my aunt couldn't bear to be in her own house anymore. I'm quite certain that my aunt didn't sleep for about 3 days after first arriving. I often woke up to hear her crying and my uncle trying to comfort her. It's my fault. It's all my fault, she'd often say between sobs. Lee's parents declined to have an autopsy performed on their son, so the cause of death was never conclusively determined, but the doctors suspected an aneurysm. My aunt was never the same after that. She was not as fun or energetic, and she never set foot in that apartment again. She eventually rented it out to some family friends, who left after a couple of months because they kept having trouble sleeping and saw a young man with spiky hair walk into the living room and then suddenly disappear several times. My aunt had suggested getting an exorcism done on the apartment, but the family was against it, since we felt that her dabbling with magic is what caused these problems in the first place. She eventually sold the place, and we washed our hands of the whole thing. I don't know if the new owners ever had any problems, but to my knowledge, they never tried to contact us after the sale. The paranormal is extremely fascinating, but I believe it can be extremely dangerous. And as someone who is immersed in these things, please stay safe, Nick. And thank you so much for reading this. Kevin. Our next story comes to us from S, and S's story is called Phasing, Shifting Creature. S says, Hey Nick, I haven't been listening to your podcast long because I'm new to the world of smartphones, which I guess makes me a little bit of a cryptid myself. But this experience was one of many that has stuck with me. Here is a little backstory. My husband and I had pretty similar childhoods. We both grew up rugged, him in the backwoods in Georgia and me on the edge of the Everglades. We did not grow up freaking out about anything because our parents taught us not to be afraid. In May 2007, my husband and I were 19 and were just finishing our freshman year. We were camping in the college forest, which was not technically allowed, and it was a dark, moonless, overcast night, but nice for May in the south. It was about 11 p.m., and we had settled into our normal camp at 9:30 or 10, and we were spooning, quietly discussing our big plans to live off the grid and be homesteaders. We had quieted down, and I could hear my husband's breath getting deeper, but I've always had restlessness before sleep. Out of nowhere, I heard what I would describe as a loud snorting or growling creature furiously running towards us. It sounded big, and I was thinking wild boar. It sounded about 30 meters away, at about 2 o'clock directionally, and it was heading straight for us. I woke up my husband and hissed, "Get your hatchet!" And just when it seemed like the boar should have been on top of our sight, it phased. I don't know how else to explain it. It shifted, so that 1 second it was 5 meters away, barreling through the underbrush, and then it shifted. The next second it was 20 meters away, barreling straight towards us, now from 11 o'clock directionally. And in between those shifts, there was nothing. I can imagine that if we hadn't have been curled up in our shelter halves, too terrified to move or look, there would have been a flash as this thing shifted from one place and direction to another instantaneously. But that is just fantasy. You also have to know that each time it shifted, it knew exactly where we were, and there was no time where the creature had to figure out where to run. With each shift, it was as if that was a section of time that was happening within a larger section of time. It would phase, running straight towards us from the left, then it would shift, running straight towards us from the upper right. This phasing and shifting continued for at least 3 minutes, but I have to say, despite everything I've been through, that was the most terrifying 3 or so minutes of my life. And my husband agrees. We are not ashamed to admit that we were praying. It was terrifying. The whole time that this creature was phasing and shifting, its guttural sounds were getting more agitated, and the sense that it was not of this world was increasing to the point that we thought we were going to die of fright. Since then, our tent has been circled by coyotes, and that was nothing compared to this utter terror. I can feel my blood pressure just thinking about it. Finally, there was a shift where the thing actually was suddenly much further away and was running in a different direction off deeper into the forest, up around 10:30 directionally. And unlike the way it came, we listened as it slowly faded away into the distance. This was our experience. It was weird, terrifying, and inexplicable, no matter how many people I've talked to. I'd really like to hear your thoughts. Have you ever heard of something like this happening? S. Our next listener story comes to us from Shoshana. And Shoshana says, "Hello. As a green witch, we are typically known for our knowledge on plants, healing, and occasionally exorcism. With that said, I have had my fair share of run-ins with the supernatural, mostly because of my craft. I'm the only witch in my town, thus I'm often asked about my healing salves and herbs. I have a spirit who follows me around, and we do communicate. However, she never learned English. She's the spirit of a Native American woman who looks to be in her late teens, and from her knowledge of wild herbs, she must have known a shaman and has decided to pass that knowledge to me, as she has helped me to avoid many poisonous plants. And I call her my teacher." Moving on, my next experience was with a demon. My friends had decided to go ghost hunting in an abandoned asylum. I cast as many protective spells as I could, and that's maybe the reason that one of them made it out alive. Unfortunately for me, they brought a Ouija board and played out of my sight. I felt an evil presence start to form from where I was at, and that's when I started to walk up to help my friends end the session, and I was not thinking about setting up a field to protect myself. As I rounded the corner, I was shoved from behind, causing me to fall to the ground. After that, I looked up from my position on the ground to see a dark figure with the most piercing eyes I could never get out of my head. By this time, I had got my friends to run, and as I turned back to the creature, my body went limp, and I felt two icy hands wrapping around my throat. I couldn't even cry. I was lucky enough to remember my spell I had studied for so long about demons, and I got two words out before it suddenly vanished. I was so scared that I didn't realize that my teacher, the native spirit, had just saved my life. As I stumbled outside, I saw that my friends had left me completely behind. Lucky for me, a police officer that I knew drove by and saw me, and I immediately knew that something was wrong, as he too had just had a supernatural surprise. He was Native American as well, and he said that he had followed a light to where I was, and when I told him what had happened, he went blank and actually paled when I described the woman. I later found out that it was his great-grandmother who protected him when she was alive. After that, he came back to check on me regularly, often bringing herbs for me. Thanks to his great-grandmother, we are getting married in May. Thank you for your time. Merry meet, and merry ye part. Our next story comes to us from Sandy, and Sandy's story is called UFO. Sandy says, "Dear Nick, my story began on a Saturday morning, which is my cleaning day. I usually strip the beds and wash and change all the linens each week. This Saturday was no different. This is important to keep in mind. By the end of the day, I had completed my chores and had bathed and was ready for bed. It seemed as if I had just laid down when I began dreaming. Suddenly, Gigi, my Australian Shepherd, and I were outside. I live in a heavily wooded area near a national park. In this dream, we were walking under the night sky that was particularly clear, and all the stars were visible, when I heard a noise above the trees. It was like the sound of running water. I couldn't see anything at first, but then I noticed that the stars were wavy, like when you try to look at something through a glass of water. I could see an outline of a huge object above my head. It honestly reminded me of a very large spaceship of some kind, but it was see-through. I stopped in my tracks and continued to look up when an extremely white, bright light began forming above my head, and then I heard a voice very loudly say, 'No, she belongs to Christ Jesus.' And as soon as the voice stopped, the light disappeared, and I awoke in my bed. Terrified, I turned on my bedside lamp and got up to go to the restroom. When I returned to my bed, there was a leaf from outside, laying where I was, in my bed. I've often wondered how a leaf from outside wound up in my freshly made bed. I think back on this ordeal, and I question if it really was a dream after all. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. If there are any listeners out there who have experienced something similar, I would love to hear their story as well. Sincerely, Sandy." Our next story of the night comes to us from Jordan, and Jordan's story is called "Sleep Paralysis, Cured by the Christian Cross." Jordan says, "Hi Nick, I've been listening to your podcast a ton during lockdown, and I'm always curious to hear about the experiences of others. You've done a great job building a supportive community, and for that I commend you. I've been meaning to share one of my one and only paranormal experiences, so here we go. During the Christmas season of 2020, I was spending time with my parents when I came across a box of old things from my younger years. Among the items was a small 4-inch Christian cross made of clear plastic with a thin metal inlay. Seeing this cross brought back memories of a sleep paralysis experience that I had years ago. I believe this happened during the time I was living at home and working retail after finishing high school, but before I entered university. However, this event might have actually happened a few years later, the time after I had graduated college and, once again, living at home while looking for a job. So I would estimate that my sleep paralysis event happened in either 2003 to 2004 or 2008 to 2009. Unfortunately, I can't be sure, as my memory of this time period is fuzzy for reasons I can't really explain. But I do recall certain details of the event that happened in my parents' Ontario, Canada home, in the bedroom I called my own since the time we moved into that house in the late 1990s. My sleep paralysis experience unfolded like this. I went to bed the night of my experience just like any other. At the time, I almost always preferred to sleep on my stomach, with my head resting directly on the mattress. I woke up in the early hours of the morning, still lying on my stomach, but without the ability to move my body, cry out for help, or even blink my eyelids. With open yet frozen eyes, I could see the dark surroundings of my bedroom, but I still couldn't move. All I could do was stare ahead in the position I was laying. The feeling of complete disconnect from my physical body led to a sudden sense of panic and truly indescribable terror. I failed to regain any control over my body, no matter what I tried. After what seemed like an eternity, I was finally able to move again for reasons unknown. The entire ordeal couldn't have lasted more than a handful of minutes, but those minutes were some of the longest I've known. Unlike other sleep paralysis stories that I've heard, I don't recall feeling a weight on my back or on the bed itself, but I do remember feeling a malevolent female presence in the room while I was paralyzed. Something to the likes of which I have never felt before or since. How I could tell that the presence was female, I have no idea, but there was just that feeling. The morning after, I told my mom what had happened, but she didn't seem overly concerned at the time, so I just tried to forget about it and move on with my day. But my story doesn't end there. That very night, it happened again. There I was asleep on my stomach, and was awoken again by an overwhelming terror accompanied by the same evil presence in my room. After what seemed like an eternity yet again, I was able to snap out of it and regain control over my body. At this point, I was desperate to figure out what was happening to me. I remember searching the internet and eventually found something that led me to believe that if I prayed for the protection of God, I might be able to prevent it from happening again. I was not a Christian at the time, but I was desperate and willing to try anything. So I prayed my best prayer and also affixed that small cross to the wall above my bed, which my grandmother had given me some years ago. If I recall correctly, it had belonged to my grandfather before he passed. After the prayer and placement of the cross above my bed, I never again experienced sleep paralysis in that house or elsewhere. To this day, I don't sleep on my stomach, just in case there is a chance that it makes me more susceptible to the same horrifying experience once again. I've always wondered if it really was the prayer and the cross that stopped the sleep paralysis, or if it was just a coincidence. Something tells me it wasn't, but if there's listeners out there with theories about the malevolent female presence and how a cross could have protected me, I would like to hear those thoughts. Thanks for reading, and keep up the good work on the podcast. Jordan. As we come to the end of tonight's episode, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in and supporting the show. And a special thank you goes out to Kevin, S, Shoshana, Sandy, and Jordan for sharing their experiences with all of us. If you've witnessed something paranormal and would like to share your story, please contact me at paranormalmysteriespodcast@gmail.com or visit us at paranormalmysteriespodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link. All of our contact information can be found in the show notes. Until next time, I hope you all have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday, May 5th, with our next episode. From everyone at Paranormal Mysteries, thank you for listening, and remember, don't wait for the unknown to come to you. Get out there and find it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.